All right, let's dive into something that honestly kind of gives me the chills just thinking about it. Data breaches. Remember that Fidelity investment situation from back in August? We're going depth on that today. You might be thinking, why does this even matter to me? I mean, I don't exactly have millions stashed away with Fidelity, but here's the thing. This isn't just, one company's security mishap or something.
You're absolutely right. This Fidelity breach, it's like a wake-up call. It
Yeah.
exposes these vulnerabilities that are everywhere. It's not just Wall Street, you know.
Yeah.
By understanding what happened here, it's almost like a crash course in how to protect your own data no matter where you bank or, frankly, how tech savvy you are.
Exactly. Okay, so let's rewind back to August 19th. Fidelity Systems, they detect something's off. What tipped them off? Was this like a scene out of a movie? Like hackers frantically typing code?
You'd think, right? But this was actually more about being cunning than, complex coding and all that. What they discovered was two fake customer accounts.
Oh, interesting.
And those were basically the keys to the kingdom. The details are still a little fuzzy on exactly how they created these accounts, but think of it this way. They got a foot in the door.
Right.
They propped it wide open, and that gave them access to just mountains of personal data. And they did all of this without ever having to actually directly break into anyone's legitimate account.
So it's more like they found a secret passage as opposed to just blowing down the front door. Wow. So what exactly did they manage to get their hands on? Like for those 77,000 customers whose info was compromised, what's like the worst case scenario?
So we're talking names, social security numbers, driver's licenses, the kind of stuff that can really, really cause some damage. And that's what makes this so unsettling, because we often think of identity theft as someone, getting into our bank account and draining it, which is awful, don't get me wrong,
Of course.
but it goes way beyond that.
Okay, so it's more than just someone going on a shopping spree with your credit card.
Imagine someone using your info to open credit cards, take out loans, even receive medical treatment, all under your name, leaving you with the fallout. It's a pretty chilling thought.
That's some seriously scary stuff. So, to Fidelity's credit, when they realized there's a breach, they did act fast. They shut down access. They notified customers. They even offered 2 years of free credit monitoring and identity restoration services. Is that enough, though, to rebuild trust after something like this happens?
It's definitely a good start. I mean, no question there. But, a lot of cybersecurity experts are saying that Fidelity really should have done more to prevent this from happening in the first place.
So what could they have done differently? I've heard people talking about something called like row level security. Is that what we're talking about here?
You're on the right track. Imagine a house with a bunch of different rooms, right? Each one has its own lock. That's kind of what row level security is, essentially. Instead of having one key that can unlock the whole house, you've got individual keys for each room. So in Fidelity's case, even if someone managed to get past those initial security measures, this system would have at least limited how much data they could actually access.
So it's about adding these extra layers of security, right? So that even if someone gets in, they can't just run off with everything.
It's also interesting to note that Fidelity, they offer multi-factor authentication to their customers. You know, that extra layer of security where they send a code to your phone. But there's some debate about whether they were actually utilizing it themselves for accessing sensitive information.
Wow. Talk about irony, right? They're telling their customers to do one thing, but maybe they weren't totally practicing what they preached. Okay, before we get into what we can all do to protect ourselves, there's one more thing about this whole Fidelity situation that I think is important to touch on.
And this isn't just about Fidelity, right? They manage something like over $14 trillion in assets.
An insane amount.
Trillion with a T. If a company with that kind of influence, those resources, can be breached, what does that say about data security in general?
It's a little bit of a sobering thought for sure. If even the giants are invincible, I mean, where does that leave everyone else?
It means we can't just be passive about it. We can't rely on companies to keep our data safe. We need to take matters into our own hands.
So it's less about waiting for someone to save us and more about becoming our own cybersecurity superheroes.
Think of it as building your own, like, cybersecurity toolkit.
Okay, I like that. A cybersecurity toolkit. I like the sound of that. But I'll be honest, I don't exactly have a computer science degree. What can, like us, regular folks, what can we actually DO to protect ourselves?
Well, that's the good news. You don't need to be some kind of, like, tech whiz to actually level up your security.
Okay, good.
We're talking about, like, simple, practical strategies that anyone can use. In fact, I bet you're already familiar with the first one.
Okay.
Think of it as, like, the lock on your front door, but for your digital life.
Okay, you're talking about two-factor authentication, right?
Yes.
I've definitely seen that as an option for websites and stuff. But sometimes I'm like, ugh, that's too much work, and I just click through it.
I get it. It could be a little bit of a hassle. But trust me on this one, two-factor authentication, or 2FA as the cool kids call it, that is your new best friend in the digital world. It's like having, you know, like a bodyguard for your accounts. So even if someone gets a hold of your password, they still can't get in without that second piece of the puzzle.
Right, right.
Which is usually a code sent to your phone or your email. It just adds that extra layer of security that can make all the difference.
Yeah, okay. I'm convinced. 2FA it is.
There you go.
What else can we do to kind of like build up those digital defenses?
So channel your inner detective.
Yeah.
And become a pro at like really monitoring your financial accounts. And we're not just talking about like noticing if your life savings disappear overnight, right?
Right.
It's more about really scrutinizing your bank statements, your credit card transactions regularly.
So being on the lookout for any like suspicious activity, even if it's small, even if it's like unauthorized charges.
Yes, exactly. Because those small charges could just be someone like testing the waters with your account before they go in for, you know, a bigger heist. Early detection here is key.
That is a really good point. Now, I've been guilty of this next one myself, using the same password for multiple accounts. It's just so easy, especially when you're trying to remember a million different things.
I hear you. But think about it this way. Using the same password for everything is kind of like using the same key for your house, your car, and your safety deposit box.
Yeah.
You're just asking for trouble. Because if one of those accounts is compromised, guess what? They all are.
Okay, that's a great analogy. So what's the solution there? How do we create strong passwords that we can actually remember?
So think passphrases instead of passwords.
Okay.
So instead of like, you know, password 123, which we've all done, right?
Yeah.
Try something like purple elephant singing opera.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just string together a few unrelated words, toss in some numbers, some special characters. Boom. You got yourself a strong, memorable password. And if you really want to like take it up a notch, try a reputable password manager. They can generate and store all those complex passwords for you, so you don't even have to remember them all.
Password manager. Got it. Now, what about those identity theft protection services? Are those worth looking into, especially after hearing about situations like this Fidelity breach?
That's a smart question. And it's a little nuanced, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Those services, they can be helpful, but they're not, you know, a magic force field that's going to prevent identity theft completely.
Yeah.
Think of them more like a home security system. They can't stop a burglar from trying to break in, but they can alert you if something's up.
So they're more about damage control than like prevention.
Exactly. They monitor your personal information. They're looking for signs of fraud, things like new accounts being opened in your name or any kind of suspicious activity on your credit report. If something seems fishy, they sound the alarm, giving you time to act quickly and hopefully minimize the damage.
Okay, so it's like having a watchdog on duty, basically, keeping an eye out for anything suspicious.
Exactly.
I like it. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
2FA, staying vigilant about our financial accounts, creating strong passwords, or using a password manager, considering identity theft protection. What else should we be aware of?
Well, let's not forget about one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Okay.
Phishing scams.
Oh, right.
You know, those emails or messages that try to trick you into, you know, clicking a link or just giving away your personal information.
Oh, phishing scams. Yeah, those are sneaky. And they're getting more and more sophisticated these days. I feel like it's harder and harder to spot them. Any advice on, like, how to avoid falling for one of those?
Absolutely. Be wary of any kind of unsolicited emails or messages, especially those that are, like, urging you to click a link or provide any kind of sensitive information.
Right.
Pay really close attention to the sender's address.
Okay.
Like, does it actually look legit?
Right.
Look out for misspellings, grammatical errors. Those are often telltale signs that it's a phishing attempt. And remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
You're right. That's a good rule of thumb for, like, the internet ND life in general, I think.
Right.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but what about this whole idea of like disappearing online? That sounds kind of intriguing.
Right, and it's not about literally like vanishing off the grid, but more about minimizing your digital footprint. You know, imagine being able to remove your personal information from all those online databases that are used by marketers and data brokers, even those people search websites, the ones that seem to know way too much about us.
Oh, yeah, like hitting the undo button on like years of just sharing our data online.
Exactly.
I'll admit, I've been very tempted to see what those people search websites actually have on me.
It's tempting, I know.
Yeah.
But remember, the less information they have access to, the better.
Yep.
Now it's important to note that no service can guarantee like 100% removal.
Right.
The internet, unfortunately, has a very long memory.
Right. True. But even reducing the amount of data that's just like floating around out there, that seems like a win.
Oh, for sure.
Right. True. But even reducing the amount of data that's just like floating around out there, that seems like a win.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So to recap, we've got two-factor authentication, staying like really vigilant about our financial accounts,
Right.
creating those strong passwords or using a password manager, considering identity theft protection, watching out for those phishing scams, and of course, taking steps to, you know, kind of minimize that digital footprint. That's a pretty like solid cybersecurity arsenal, I'd say.
You got it. And the best part is, all of these things, they're within reach for anyone. You
Right.
don't have to be some kind of tech expert to actually take control of your digital security.
This fidelity breach has really been eye-opening, I think. It just highlights the fact that in this digital age, we're all responsible for our own data security. Like, it's not enough to just like hope for the best or rely on companies to protect us.
I agree. You can't just be passive about it.
Yeah.
We can't just, you know, stick our heads in the sand and pretend it's not going to happen.
Exactly,
Right.
exactly. So as you're going about your day, right,
Yeah.
checking those bank statements online,
Right?
maybe even setting up that password manager that we talked about,
Good idea.
here's something to think about. We live in a world where data is currency.
It is.
You know, it's more valuable than it's ever been.
Absolutely.
And who is ultimately responsible for keeping it safe?
That's the question, isn't it?
Is it enough for companies to just, you know, kind of react after a breach?
Right.
Or should we all be more proactive about it? Like, be our own guardians of our own information.
I think it's a conversation worth having, for sure.
It's definitely something to ponder, especially as, you know, we navigate this increasingly complex digital landscape.
Absolutely. Until next time, stay curious, stay vigilant, and stay safe out there.
Well said. And that's it for this deep dive. Big thanks to you for joining us. We'll catch you next time.